6 p.m. Lakers, Clippers, we are back. By the way, Station's going to be hosting a watch party on our socials of this game. It will be hosted by myself and my brother. We're going to be giving away prizes, you know, the whole deal. It's going to be a lot of fun. So be there.
Maybe you can, come on. Lakers, Neil, come on, bro.
We'll be banging some heads, all that stuff.
All right.
Will there be food at this at the watch party?
There are opportunities, I believe. I believe there are opportunities to win some Pizza Hut, to win some food. So yes, there will be some. There will definitely be some food represented virtually, but also what you can potentially win as well. There will be some. There will be some folks. I'm pretty confident with food. They will end up with some food for their troubles. So again, be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be throughout the entire game. Then afterwards, because I never sleep, on our socials, the late night happy hour. Bill Orm from The Athletic is going to be joining us for a little while. Break down everything that happened. LeBron, LZ, the opportunity that is restarting for him with these playoffs. And again, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to weigh in. The opportunity that LeBron has, not that his whole career has not been one big old statement about greatness, but to lead a third franchise to a championship, and particularly this franchise to a championship, but under the circumstances that have surrounded the Lakers the whole year, beginning with an offseason that was just complete chaos, you know, with Magic resigning and all the backbiting going on, to the situation in China, to the death of Kobe Bryant, to a pandemic, to the bubble, the opportunity for LeBron to do something that has literally never been done before on so many levels. If he can manage to lead these Lakers to this championship, the history books are going to be so uniquely rewritten for him. It's going to be amazing to see.
It will be amazing. And people are running out of places to hide. They're running out of places to hide. There have been five franchises in the history of this league that have made it to four straight NBA finals. Just five. LeBron James has been the best player of two of those five. Miami and Cleveland. They said he couldn't do it in the West. He comes to the West healthy and bam, number one seed, just like he was in the East. He wins a championship. What you going to say now, dog? Where you going? What do you have left? I mean, it's like there's nowhere else for your hateration to go if he's able to lead the Lakers to another championship. There's nowhere to go. You can't say he ran off and joined a bunch of superstars because he came to a team that was being led by a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You can't say the East is easy because now he's in the West. You can't say, he's not clutch. You can't say, like, because the numbers and reality and statistics don't bear it to be. You can't say that, to love him, that means to love Kobe, that means you have to hate him, because Kobe very clearly loved LeBron. They loved each other, it's very clear. So where is your hateration going to go now, man?
Well,
are you still
stuck
on the decision? Are you still mad about the decision? Are you still mad about that?
I was just going to say, LZ, it starts getting into the question of why are you doing it? Like, why are you looking for the reasons to detract? Because, like, I mean, we've long since passed the point where there really were legitimate reasons. Like, I get maybe a decade ago when LeBron was being crowned as, you know, potentially the greatest of all time before he'd even won a championship. Like, from a Laker fan perspective, when it looked like he had leapfrogged Kobe in the pantheon of greats, when Kobe was sitting on four or five championships, depending where you were in the calendar year, and LeBron hadn't won even one. And even when you look at the undeniable talent, I can understand where people would say, okay, slow down a bit. Like, you need to win at least one championship before you start talking about it in those terms. Like, I can understand that. But where we are now with LeBron, like if you're looking to detract from LeBron now, you have to at least ask the question of why. Like, and if it's pure haterade, okay, fine, whatever, own that. But if you're actually presenting it as something other than pettiness, then again, what's the why? What's the actual reason for it? Because he's not offering you much, not giving you a whole lot there.
No, he's not. And I don't understand, like, why is it so hard to just enjoy it? Why is it so hard just to enjoy the greatness? A lot of listeners, and maybe they're right, I don't know, they feel like I'm a Jordan hater. There are things that Jordan has done that's disappointed
me. I can see that.
I've been disappointed by Jordan, but at no point did I take my disappointment and some of the things I wish he would have done with his power and projected it onto the basketball court and said something stupid like he sucks. I'm not stupid, but there are people who are stupid and they say LeBron James sucks. And it's like, don't be stupid, because when you say stupid stuff, you actually undermine the credibility on your legit arguments, on the things about LeBron that's legit that you can detach from. If I started saying stuff like Jordan's not clutch, or Jordan is not a good player, or Jordan's not an alt, if I start saying stupid stuff like that, then my legitimate stuff about how he chose not to do X, Y, and Z, or the fact that he keeps lying about Isaiah Thomas and the Olympic team, that stuff gets undermined because, I mean, come on, dog. That stuff gets undermined because I'm saying stupid stuff. So listen, I get it. You can hate LeBron James all you want, but the boy is legit.
Yes.
He's legit. Yes. And he's a made man, and he deserves to be in the GOAT conversation because he's done GOAT stuff. When you bad like a GOAT, then you get to be in the GOAT conversation.
If it looks like a GOAT and it baths like a GOAT, at some point it's just a GOAT. At some point, it's just a GOAT. Even if LeBron is not the GOAT, even if he's not the GOAT.
LeBron, live from Orlando. Do we got LeBron on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was exclusive, people, by the way. That was an exclusive. 7-10 ESPN.
Exclusive.
We're going to be talking to LeBron throughout this show, straight from Orlando. The organization inviting us. You're welcome.
GOAT.
Look, man.
GOAT. But seriously, though, Andy, like, can you think of another situation where an obvious all-time great is still being discredited by peers and by basketball people who, for whatever reasons, want to find reasons to say, like, I can't think of the only other player I can think of, and this is for real, and I know you guys hate when I bring this up, but I don't care. They used to do that to Serena. Like, they used to be like, yeah, but she ain't got to play nobody. Yeah, but she won 15 Grand Slams, but you know, the record's 18. Then she blows by 18. Well, you know, the real record is 22.
And her you're like, era, well, was, y'all keep her era wasn't strong enough. The quality of opposition wasn't strong
Exactly. They keep finding ways. And now eventually they finally have said, okay, fine, she's GOAT. Damn it, you guys win. And that's how I feel about LeBron James. After a certain point, you're just running out of stuff to say. I saw a conversation on our network where it was like, if Kawhi Leonard wins a championship, that proves he's a better player than LeBron James. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. why would you say that? That's just dumb. That's just a dumb approach to the conversation.
No, he won't look.
And we all know better than this.
At that point, Kawhi will have done something that LeBron hasn't done, because as it got pointed out to us over Twitter from at Kimball Gathers, Kawhi also has that same opportunity to win his third championship with three different teams, and that would be incredibly impressive too.
No. Let me tell you why that's
not impressive. False comparison.
It's not as impressive.
This is why it's a false comparison. We all know good and damn well that championship with the Spurs, he was not the best player, or the second best, even the third best player. We all know he was not leading that team to a championship. Yes, he won Finals MVP. I'm sorry. Was he an all-star when he led a team to the championship? Was Tim Duncan dead? Was Tony Parker still balling? Was Ginobili still on the squad?
Man, Kawhi played really well in that series, man. He played really well.
I didn't say he didn't. But Andre Iguodala was MVP. Was he the best player on the Golden State Warriors, or didn't you do the most impressive job over a short stretch of games?
Well, no, they never give it to a guy on a losing team. I mean, it really should have been LeBron, to be honest.
Exactly.
LeBron should have won MVP in that series.
So we all know in that first championship, not saying Kawhi's not a great player, but in that first championship, he was not leading the Spurs to the NBA Finals. It was not Kawhi Leonard in the Spurs that first championship. It's been LeBron James since LeBron James entered the league. Since he's entered the league, he has been the best player on his team and the leader of that team since he's been in the league.
I did not say it was the same thing. I said it would be really impressive. It would be
no,
really
you said as impressive.
Okay. You can rewind the tape. That's why you keep losing to the state drafts. If I said as impressive, okay, it's pretty damn impressive. Like, I'm not buying a world where Kawhi doing that is not impressive. That is impressive because
he was a key part of that.
He was defending LeBron or Dwayne Wade the entire series. Like, he's got one or the other of them while still scoring. I mean, he did some stuff in there. He wasn't just along for the ride.
I didn't say he was just along for the ride. I'm just saying to compare that championship run to any of the runs that LeBron James has had isn't apples to apples because Kawhi was not the de facto leader of those squads.
He would do it twice the first time that he was with a franchise, like the first year he's with them. It's pretty damn impressive, man. 2 years, it would be 2 years in a row with two different franchises? Like, that's really impressive.
You're having two different conversations about the same topic. There is a conversation about him and comparing him to LeBron, and then there's the singular conversation of comparing him just to his own accomplishments. And you're right. It would be absolutely incredible for him to lead his second team to a championship in his first year on that team. You're absolutely right about that. But don't confuse that with carrying a team to three different championships because he didn't carry the first team.
All right. Pretty big part of it. Pretty big part of it all. I mean, again, I'm not even trying to make one or the other. I'm not playing the stupid comparison game. Like, I'm not the guy.
It feels a little Skip Bayless.
No. If I were Skip Bayless, I would be saying all this to discredit LeBron. And the only reason we're having this conversation is I raised the idea of how stupid it is to try to discredit LeBron in the first place. I am not trying to discredit LeBron. I am not Skip Bayless. I will never be Skip Bayless. That is, my goals will never involve any of Skip Bayless's goals, period. All I'm saying is that would be an impressive.
What you saying?
It's a really impressive feat by Kawhi if he manages to be a key part, at the very least, of three championships for three different franchises,
absolutely
in a row. That would be really impressive. I ain't buying anything else.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. That would be a fantastic story.
If I misplaced an as, forgive me in that whole thing. If there was an as, that should not have been in there.
I'm going to forgive you this time because I'm just letting you know, old dude gave you about 16 points a game that first year they won a championship.
Okay. He was also locked.
It was Duncan. It was Ginobili. Okay. It was Parker still. That year they beat the Heat. They came back and beat the Heat. That was who was carrying that squad.
Okay.
Just like all the other championships.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, he was.
Loans were clear.
He had the hardest defensive assignments of anybody there on a regular basis. But you are correct.
He was not the focal point.
You are correct. He was not the focal point of three championships, and that stuff matters, which gets back to the whole discussion we were having before. Why are people trying to detract from LeBron? Like, in the year 2020 of our Lord, why are you still doing this? Like, why are we still doing this stupid game? You know, why would our network, for whoever it was, why would they even bring that up? What's the point? Like, what is the point? What's your agenda? Why are you doing it? Because it just looks stupid.
Like, listen to this. Paul Pierce is quoted as saying, thanks, Jonathan, for pointing this out. If LeBron James wins his fourth title with three different franchises, I will put LeBron James back in my top five all-time NBA players. Why the hell is he out your top five?
That's ridiculous.
Why the hell is he out your top five, PP?
I mean, but
why
then,
is he not there now?
This is what I was saying
What
before.
Did he do? He said back in the top five. So what did he do to fall out of your top five of all time?
This is what I was saying before, LZ, because with Paul Pierce, it is clearly personal with LeBron. Just say it's personal. Just say it's, I don't like that dude, and I'm never going to see that guy as a top five player because I don't like him. Because then at least you're being honest. You're being honest about the whole thing. So at least go there. Speaking of honesty, doesn't feel like Major League Baseball has a whole lot of it in terms of how they handled Joe Kelly, the 8-game suspension coming down. The league looks like a kangaroo court. We'll get into that next.
Andy, I'm not here for your Michael Jackson slander. I'm not here for that. Oof. I don't want to hear it anymore. You need to stop it right now.
He is right one of the all-time now. Greats. Michael is one of the all-time greats. Off the Wall is a masterpiece. But as we said yesterday during the draft, and I stand by it, I don't know if I need Michael back right now. If we're all keeping it real, I don't know if I need him back. Roger,
hey, he was the first to wear a mask. He'd be fine in this quarantine. he wore a mask for no damn reason at all.
I mean,
I am not here to your slander.
Remember when he dangled his kid over a balcony? Like, yeah. Do we really need Michael back? I mean,
he's an adult now. The story turned out fine.
Let's be honest. If one of the all-time greats, I will never ever take that away from him. There's always those conversations about Michael Jackson getting canceled or whatever. Like, Michael Jackson's influence over music is impossible to cancel. He will never be canceled. There are too many musicians, too many groups that owe their career and their sound to Michael Jackson. That being said, I don't need him back. If I'm really being honest, I don't need him back. It feels like trouble.
He was a third round draft pick.
Mm-hmm. If you remember, He slipped for a reason.
He only slipped because you were foolish enough not to take him. You should have taken him early Mm-mm. yourself. Mm-mm. Yep.
You know what? Yep. But sometimes it's better to lose. David Bowie. Are you kidding me? Are you really mocking David Bowie? Like, really?
I'm not mocking David Bowie. I'm helping you understand where you may have gone wrong.
Sometimes, you know what? You make your decisions and you live with them. Sometimes it is better to lose the right way than win the wrong. And I'm not going to make any apologies.
It didn't work for Houston. Houston won the wrong way, and now they're being protected.
Yes, they did.
Right.
And now they're being protected. So, bogus.
No, because I don't agree with that protection. I absolutely do not agree with the cheating Astros being protected. No ramifications whatsoever for any of those players in that cheating scandal. And then baseball turns around, gives Joe Kelly, hashtag free Joe Kelly, 8 games worth of suspension for something so egregious, LZ, he was not even ejected. The man was not even tossed from the game. And he got an 8-game suspension. Explain to me the logic.
It's garbage. It is such garbage. And there is, except that the baseball gods feel like they must protect this team from their bad decisions.
That's right.
They can't have vigilante justice on the field, even though they have vigilante justice on the field. Vigilante justice is an aspect of baseball, like strikes and fly balls. Like, that's how much vigilante justice is an aspect of this sport. But now all of a sudden, you want to punish it. Now all of a sudden, it's not good for business. It's not what we're about. Now all of a sudden, you want to do something about it. Why don't you do something about the cheating that occurred?
Yeah.
Something real. Do something real about those cheaters. 8 games for a guy who lost control of a few pitches and mocked the guys as he walked off the field. He didn't punch anybody.
No.
He didn't hit anybody.
No.
He didn't even really curse him out. Like, he had a nice little, you know, nice.
No, he ring, got, he, know, got cursed at. He got cursed at.
Yes.
He actually, and he got the mother bleeper. Yes. He got
his clean, foot got stepped on.
He got the clean. He got the mother bleeper. Like, he's the one that actually got cursed at, not the other way around. I mean, come on, man.
It's garbage. It's garbage. So I want this season to finish. I want a champion, but I also want people to continue to talk about this gap in justice, this hypocrisy, if you will. We need to keep talking about that because we don't want them to think that we forgot. Because if they think we forgot, then they start thinking they got away with one. And I want them to know you didn't get away with it. I see you, Rob, man, Fred. I see you.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I don't.
The Dodgers still, they sweep their series. They win last night, 4-2, 13 innings. Mookie had the game-winning RBI. He came through. Mookie came through in the clutch, starting to look a little bit more like Mookie Betts over the course of this series, starting to get there a little more, starting to look like the $300 million man. And if we're being honest about this, if we're being totally honest about this, you get the sweep. The Dodgers are now 4-2, back on track from where we expected them after a slowish start against the Giants. But really, being honest, 8 games where Joe Kelly isn't an option may not be the worst thing in the world. If we're really being honest about this, I mean, would you have wanted Joe Kelly on the mound last night when things were really tight with the bullpen and all those wild pitches that we've seen over the course of his career? I don't know if I'd want Joe Kelly out there, if we're really being honest. So there's always a bright side that you can try to find. In the meantime, Joe Kelly is trolling right now. If you go to his Instagram, he's got a picture right now. It says, "Hey, guys, with the suspension I received from the @MLB for my actions on Tuesday, I would like to apologize, ... all caps, to absolutely nobody. The Astros."
I don't think that's a real thing.
Oh, it's not real?
No.
Oh, it's not real?
It's a pretend one. But go on with the story. I like the story.
Go on. I like the story, too.
Yeah,
go on.
Keep going. Forget what I said. Yeah, forget what I said.
Okay.
Yeah,
he is spoiling it, man. And somebody needs to tell me that that's not real because I'm not on Instagram. To absolutely nobody, the Astros are hiding in their dugouts because I'm suspended. Just wait till I'm out. And in his lap, he's got little babies of Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve. I believe that's Springer or Bregman. Either way, he's got all the little babies on his lap. It's not real, though, just before people start freaking out.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not real?
I'm positive now, or at least I think so. Not real.
It's from Lucas 83.5.
Wheeze. Lucas Wheeze. You know what? It's getting treated like it's real because it is blowing up.
It's got 80,000 followers, and it's being followed by the great Holly Robinson Pete.
Okay.
Another icon in Black Hollywood who refuses to age.
Yes. Yes, she's up there with Vivica A. But yeah, I mean, in the end, the Dodgers are going to be fine. They're going to be fine in this whole thing. They're looking a little bit more like the Dodgers. I'm concerned about the runners in scoring position, but still looking a little bit more like the Dodgers. And I really do have a feeling. We'll see. It begins tonight in Arizona. But I have a feeling that once they've got this out of their system, they might loosen up a little bit. Like, the bats might loosen up a little bit. We'll see. I mean, it's maybe too early to judge anything, but I feel like it's going to loosen up a little bit. Like, this has to have been on their mind for a while. I can't see how it wouldn't have been.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I know that they've told us one game at a time, we're only focused, blah, 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 blah. But you don't say the words that Cody Bellinger said once he learned about the cheating. And then all of a sudden, you store that away, you forget that you said those words or that you had those feelings. So maybe they were pressing a little bit, but if they were, if bats didn't show up, that's fine because the pitching did. And I definitely want to give, you know, particularly Mr. May, all the props in the world because he's given us two quality starts, one against a garbage team in the Giants, and obviously what he did last night. And his composure and his stuff, his electrifying stuff, to me, justifies him being on this roster. Do not send him away. I don't care about you trying to control him. I don't care about the service time manipulation. I don't care about all that. I care that we have quality arms to go to. Because just like Cody Bellinger wasn't in the plan when we brought him up to be what he was, Dustin May very quickly has made himself, in my opinion, indispensable. Because if you're telling me we got Buehler, May, and Kershaw, I'm feeling good, bro.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see Dustin May getting sent back down anytime soon, or he shouldn't.
No.
I mean, if he gets sent down, it really speaks to just what BS the whole service time thing is, because that is not in the best interest of the Dodgers. Tell you what's not in the best interest of the NBA. Players talking about coronavirus as a population control theory. Unfortunately, there is a member of the NBA talking about that, and it's got his team spooked. We'll talk about that next, 710 ESPN.
Yee yee.
There have been 6 earthquakes since the 4.2 at like 4-ish in the morning. We are in earthquake, just an earthquake loop right now, LZ.
Well, the NBA season is about to start. About to shake some stuff up, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's just 2020, man. 2020 will give you 6 earthquakes in 3 hours. Like, that's just the way things are rolling these days. That's how it works. Like, I mean, at this point, nothing should surprise you when it happens in this particular year. Like, I think we've established nothing is off the table at this point. It is one hell of a year.
Well, put it this way. If there was a news special on CNN, and in the middle of the news session, Adele takes off her head and we find out she's actually an alien from Mars or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would like, that makes sense. I always wonder how she hit all those notes. She's not even human. That's how crazy.
Lost all that weight.
This year has been.
Yeah.
She did lose a lot of weight very quickly.
She did. Super quickly. You know why? Alien 2020. It's the only possible explanation for everything going on. Speaking of explanations, Michael Porter Jr. with the Nuggets, second-year player, had an interesting theory about the coronavirus that's ravaging the world, in particular ravaging baseball. We now have 18 positive tests on the Florida Marlins. He was doing a little Snapchat, and Michael Porter Jr. said, quote, "Personally, I think the coronavirus is being used, obviously, for a bigger agenda. It's being used for population control, just in terms of being able to control the masses of people. I mean, because the virus, the whole world is being controlled. You're required to wear masks. And who knows what will happen if the vaccine comes out. You might have to have the vaccine just in order to travel. Like, that would be crazy." You might not be surprised, LZ. The Nuggets were not thrilled about this. They had a little talking to. Had a little talking to with Michael Porter Jr. Mike Malone, their coach, said, Mike Malone, who, by the way, dealt with coronavirus, said, "Obviously, I'm not the thought police. I'm not going to tell any of our players what they can and can't say. All I would say is to be sensitive to the current situation in our country and throughout the world in regards to coronavirus." Another way of putting that would be, shut the bleep up, Michael Porter Jr. I believe that's what he's actually saying with those comments.
Population control, huh?
Well, controlling the population, okay. Literally controlling us. You know, through the use of masks and whatnot, LC. Controlled. We're all being controlled.
Good. Huh. All right. Okay. Well, I'm not one to, like, you know, like Coach says, I'm not going to try and be like some sort of thought patrol police person. You're saying something I don't agree with, so you should be canceled. Like, that's not how I'm wired.
No. Mm-mm.
But I will say, Michael Porter Jr., I think you may want to flesh out this population control conversation a little bit more, because from what I can tell is that because we have been forced to stay in our houses and with our loved ones significantly longer than we usually would have, there are more babies being made because we're finding other things to do to pass the time, if you will.
Corona babies.
So if this is about population control, there's a whole lot of corona babies being born. So,
say that, Jorge.
I said, and then when they're older, they're going to be considered the quarantines.
I like that.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I like that. It's 7:30
in the morning.
If I was so
scared
of dying,
I would go into the studio and slap you for that one. But I'm a little
Jorge, I got your back.
Andy's got my back.
I got your back. Here's the thing, too, though, that I think for players of Michael Porter Jr.'s generation, LZ, and we see this over and over, I don't think the generation that has been raised on nothing other than social media truly understands just how many people see the type of things that they say. Just because, like, you don't know a world other than people talking on social media about blank. And, like, the idea that, you know, you don't only get to talk to who you want to with these sort of statements. Like, everybody ends up hearing it. And like the impact, if you're Michael Porter Jr. and you have a platform in the NBA, like, the impact of saying stuff like that, like, it's real. Or, like, you know, we saw with Dwight in the bubble, you know, questioning certain things about coronavirus, questioning whether or not he should be, you know, have to wear a mask, stuff like that. Like, there's an impact to it. And as you said, I'm not calling for anybody to be canceled. I'm not calling for anybody to not be able to say what they want to say. But you really have to understand the impact of saying it.
Yeah, you do. But a lot of people, whether they're kids like Michael Porter Jr. or made people, you get on Twitter and you don't really think about the repercussions and you just kind of send it up there. You keep it moving. I'm not going to jump all over the young man for saying something that I disagree with. I just think his theory of population control doesn't bear fruit. And that was a pun.
It's just literally like,
oh,
controlling
man.
He's
also, he's a, his diet is, he's a raw vegan, which means he only eats like uncooked food.
That's tough, man. That is tough.
No wonder he's crazy. No wonder he's crazy. No wonder. Can you imagine every 4th of July, every Memorial Day weekend, every Thanksgiving, instead of eating mama's cooking with the mac and cheese and the ham and the barbecue, instead of all that, you got to eat some carrots and apples. No wonder he's crazy.
Uncooked. You can't even uncooked. Steam them. You can't even just steam a carrot. As a raw vegan, you can't cook
now this,
anything.
Now this all makes sense.
Yeah,
this all makes sense now.
There's a poor lot thing. Going on there. I feel sorry
somebody,
for me.
Somebody get that man. Somebody get that boy a hamburger.
His Snapchat was just
calm down.
It's just a cry for help, man. It was just an absolute cry for help. He's reaching out to us all. We need to be more sympathetic.
He's a lifelong vegetarian.
I mean, but not just a vegetarian, because vegetarians, you can have eggs, vegetarians, you can have dairy. Like, you've got some options as a vegetarian. Yes. You even have options as a vegan. Raw vegan? That's like no options.
Raw vegan. I'm going to put up a poll. I'm going to put up a poll, people. You ready for the question?
Please.
I'm glad you're dying to find out. Would you give up cooked food and be a raw vegan to be in the NBA? Could you do it? Could you do it, Andy? To be in the NBA, never eat meat, never eat any cooked food ever again. Apples and celeries and cilantro and cucumbers is your diet for the rest of your days as long as you're in the NBA. Could you do it?
How good am I? How good am I in the NBA? Like,
you're in the NBA.
Am I
you're
an
in
all-star?
The NBA. You
am I an all-star? Or am I a guy just hanging on? If I'm a guy just
you see this,
on,
Raj? You see this? Do you see this, Raj? I'd have got the brother in the NBA, and now he wants to be elevated to an all-star. Just to answer the question, Why can't you just NBA?
I like me some cooked food, LZ. I really enjoy my food cooked. That's all.
You would turn down the NBA. You would turn down the NBA.
What would you
to
do?
Eat a steak? Ooh, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Okay, I really think I do like carrots. I like mangoes.
Okay, LZ.
I like watermelon and cantaloupe.
Hang on to your answer. Coming up, take it or shake it. You're going to give a definitive answer to the question that you actually posed. All right, LZ, we begin with the question that you posed regarding Michael Porter Jr., who had some interesting comments about coronavirus and population control. But as you pointed out, he is a raw vegan. And for people who don't understand, raw veganism means you can't even cook the vegan food that you consume. Everything is raw. So you pose the idea of, would you be willing to maintain a raw vegan diet in exchange for being an NBA player? Take it or shake it, LZ is a raw vegan in the NBA.
Fire!
Shake it.
All right.
Shake it.
That's right.
I love ball. I love ball. Andy, you know this.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
I love ball. But I also love me some food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna be honest with the listeners. Ain't no way I could be a raw vegan for the rest of my life or during the duration of an NBA career. There's just no way. Because if I take a single bite, and that means my contract is null and void, I wouldn't last as long as New Will did in the bubble. I'm real with you.
No.
Well, I could do a snack. I could do a meal. Like, I snack on raw stuff and grapefruits and bananas. I snack. But when it's time to eat, I got to eat, dog.
You brought up Lou Williams, man. Your instinct for most people, the first thing he did, you know, after he gets out of the bubble and pays his respects, he goes to get the chicken wings. Like, we are wired as people to look to get that stuff. So just, no, there's no way, like I said, there's no way I can do it. Next one up, Adam Silver hinted that he expects, in an interview with Good Morning America, that he expects there to be kneeling during the national anthem once things restart again, and that he respects the idea of peaceful protest. And without coming out and saying it, he made it pretty clear there's not going to be any punishment for players if they end up kneeling, in part because of the times that we're in right now and all the focus on racial injustices. Take it or shake it, this actually becomes the new norm, though, for the NBA moving forward, because once it's out, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
What is out?
Then you're allowed to actually kneel in the anthem moving forward.
That's what you said the first time. It would have been a lot shorter. We would have got to the point.
Look at all this time we're wasting now.
I'm going to take it.
I'm going to take it.
I really feel as if at this point, you know, 4 years ago, I'll go along with the okie doke and think that a bunch of people really felt as if they were protesting the military or something. I'll play along for the sake of just being a devil's advocate. But at this point, if you're still trying to characterize Black Lives Matter or any protest during the national anthem as being anti-military or something like that, you just need to just go and be real honest with yourself and stop telling lies about other people. You just need to look in the mirror and just own some stuff. Own it.
Yeah.
Don't project it. Own it. So, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, definitely take it. This is just going to be a natural part of the NBA fiber.
Yeah, I totally agree. Dodger Stadium, we've already seen the cutouts of different fans that you can purchase. You now, though, have the opportunity to have your pets in there. For $149, cat or dog cutouts can be in the Loge level. Take it or shake it. Good use of $149.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Listen, I got two dogs. We got a couple snakes. We got some bearded dragons. Like, pets in the household. It's a snake draft. We do pets in the household. And I love my dogs. absolutely love my dogs. If the predator ran away or something, I probably wouldn't be that sad. But the dogs, I love. I love my dogs. I ain't taking no picture of Casper dropping 100 and some bucks so he can have a. No, why would I You're do not? That? Like, no.
Come on, no. Man. Where's your sense of fun? Where's your sense of whimsy?
Yeah.
Come on, man. That'd be fun.
No, I have plenty of fun. I have plenty of fun. I have plenty of whimsy. I just ran through the dispensary yesterday. Trust me, I got my phone.
See, now, how can you visit the dispensary?
For a picture of a dog.
Look, how can you visit the dispensary, engage in what you get from the dispensary, and not think seeing your dog in the stands at Dodger Stadium is fun, that's a good idea? That's exactly the moment where you think that's $149 well spent. All right, next, Marshawn.
Bro, let me tell you.
Oh, I thought we were in a hurry.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, guys, be consistent now.
I didn't stop you. You stopped yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Marshawn Lynch, as it turns out, charmed his Seattle Seahawks OC Brian Schottenheimer's wife when they first met. Schottenheimer thought that Lynch looked a little bit intimidating at the beginning, but then eventually they became friends. And Lynch talked to Brian Schottenheimer's wife and said, "Damn, you smell good." Take it or shake it, Marshawn Lynch is sneakily the most charming player in the NFL.
Take care of y'all chicken.
The sneakiest, most charming guy in the NFL?
He's like sneaky charming. Take it or shake it. He's not necessarily
shake
thought of that
it.
Way. No?
Shake All right. it.
Shake it. You know why I'm shaking it? Because only people who have a certain view of how he looks would assume he's not charming. Only people who looks at him and assume, but if you're comfortable around the way he looks, then you wouldn't be surprised that he's charming.
But that's
I'm going to say you being surprised says more about you than it does about him. So I'm shaking it.
Look, you're shocked.
If you're shocked that Marshawn Lynch is charming, that just says something about you.
Right, but I'm talking about the world that we live in. And the world that we live in, unfortunately, makes it so Marshawn Lynch's charm has to be kind of sneaky, because we know how people judge based on looks, based on appearances, you know, racial stereotypes, the whole nine. We know how the world works. So, unfortunately...
Well, in my world, you wouldn't be surprised that a good dude like Marshawn Lynch would be charming. I'll put it that way.
I love the dude. Marshawn Lynch... I find so entertaining. And also, too, when he speaks, he usually has something really interesting to say. The NBA is back, LZ. It is back. Lakers, Clippers officially starting. What are you looking for? Get into that next. 710 ESPN.